Welcome to Grad Chat by PhD Balance, where we talk about topics of grad school beyond academic research, and that may be more difficult to talk about in our day-to-day. I'm your host, Liesl. I am the president of PhD Balance. And if you would like to see, if you like what you see here, make sure that you check out the PhD Balance YouTube channel and anchor.fm for more grad chats. And don't forget to subscribe for notifications about when we go live. Our topic today is the importance of hobbies during grad school, and I'm so excited to welcome our guest, Ariane Panzer, with the pronoun she/her. Ariane is currently a sixth-year PhD candidate. After working as a research technician for several years, she joined the biomedical sciences program at UC San Francisco. Ariane focuses on her other passions outside of research: science communication, equity and inclusion in the sciences, and open science. She also enjoys walks in the park with her dog Sophie, reading and discussing books with her book club, journaling, and has recently started watercolor painting. So we're so pleased to have you here on Grad Chat to discuss your experiences, Ariane.
I'm super excited to be here and talk about the subject for today.
Awesome. Yeah, I know that we've gotten a lot of interest in hearing about hobbies and outside activities in grad school and just, adding more things to your life than what you might do in the lab or the classroom all day. So if you don't mind, we'll just go ahead and get started with some of the awesome questions that we've prepared and that people have sent in from all over, if that's all right with you.
Sounds great.
Yeah, okay. So our first question is, why do you think getting involved with things and having hobbies during graduate school is so important?
So, science, as we know, is a process, a long process. And especially in graduate school, you're learning so much and you're failing so much. And so it was nice to have things outside of the lab that I could help to define myself as a person. When just focusing only on doing lab work, I became defined by that lab work. And so when it failed, it felt like I was failing and it felt like sort of the only thing I had going on. But by, joining clubs at school or by doing hobbies totally outside of graduate school, it gave me some more fulfillment and meaning. And that way, when things in lab were failing, it didn't feel so terrible.
So I love the fact that you mentioned, having something outside of graduate school to look forward to, not having kind of all of your emotional eggs in one basket with a lab work, having something else to do. So that kind of leads us really nicely into our second question, which is how do you make sure that you have time for those hobbies with everything that goes on in graduate school?
Yeah, that is a great question. I mean, I think weekends, I do not work on weekends. I would recommend that people do not work on weekends on graduate projects unless you absolutely have to. So weekends, I spend my time just really decompressing, and that's when I get to do things like watercolor or reading and things like that. And then sort of getting involved with groups or clubs on campus. I just try to plan my experiments around them and make sure, it's really not generally that much time. It might be like an hour in the day. And just I'm able to be flexible with my time in lab, and so that definitely helps.
Yeah, I really like that because that is one of the things that people talk about as being a perk of academia, right? Is that flexibility. But I think it's kind of rare that we see people that actually put that flexibility to work for them. You are right, like being able to, take a quick break from whatever you're working on in lab and head across campus to a club meeting. It's probably a really great way to make use of that flexibility and just give yourself a little bit of a break from whatever you might have going on.
Yeah, I think ha taking breaks is super important, and that's a lesson I had to learn because it's so easy in academia to just keep going and burn yourself out. And just taking, a 1 hour break in the middle of the day just totally refreshes the mind. And yeah, I feel better going back into my science.
Yeah, that's really awesome. So one thing that I think a lot of us have experienced and a lot of our members have expressed to us is that they feel really nervous about trying to get involved in things going on outside of their lab or trying to find groups that are interested in hobbies that they have the interest in. So how do you deal with those nerves or that anxiety around trying to get involved or trying to find new friend groups to do your hobbies with?
I guess a question I have is the nerves related to what your PI is going to think, or is it sort of internal own nerves, or both?
I think it's both, but
Okay.
let's start with your own nerves about finding those groups and getting involved.
Yeah, I guess I'm an extrovert, so it kind of comes naturally to me that I want to like meet people and get involved. I think one thing that really helped me get more involved with things on campus is I joined the student newspaper. And in some ways, that can be a more introverted hobby. You know, a lot of the time was writing. I also was editing other people's work. And then, you know, occasionally we would have meetings where we'd talk about story ideas. And that really helped me not only know what was going on around campus and let me become, you know, be able to get interested and say, oh, that's something I'd like to do, or this is another thing I'd like to do. I was really up to date on all the events and things, but I also got to meet people outside of my graduate program, which was really great, and then also learn about, you know, other things going on campus through those people. So in regards to nerves, I mean, yeah, maybe start with something where it's not, you know, a full-on thing and kind of work your way up or work your way in. I mean, honestly, just like even going to one-off events on campus can lead to something else. You know, you can meet someone there or you can hear about some group there and that might pique your interest. So I just say go to things on campus and see what you learn about.
Yeah, I like that. I like the focus on just trying to find things that you're interested in and slowly working your way up to that. I think that's awesome. So then the second part of that question then is nerves and anxiety around your PI's thoughts. And one of the questions that we got actually specifically says, does your PI support your involvement in all of these extracurricular activities?
So yeah, I am very fortunate in the fact that my PI does support my being involved in these extracurricular activities. And I know that that's not always a common thing. I think, you know, for people whose PIs are a little more trepidatious about it, I would recommend you may have to sort of sell it to them or pitch it to them and be like, you know, so for example, I worked at the student newspaper at UCSF. You know, if I had to talk to my PI about this and they weren't on board, you might say something like, oh, well, I'm working on my writing skills and my science communication skills, which is absolutely true. I was absolutely doing that. And so it's like, this is another way for me to build up those skills. So that way, when we write a paper for my project, I'll be ready to go because I've been writing beforehand. So yeah, you may, with PIs that are less supportive, you may have to kind of find a pitch.
I like that a lot. To share a little bit of my own stuff, I was taking dance classes pre-COVID times during my coursework, and there were actually like a couple of papers that my dance teacher sent to me when I told them that I was struggling with like my PI maybe not wanting me to take classes that weren't directly related to my research, being dance. And they talked all about how like dance was a really good way to build like scientific communication skills and to build like better stage presence, and it just like helped create like neurological connections that would help you be a better scientist at the end of the day too, because it gave your brain like a little bit of a break and worked on that like plasticity. So I love that. I love trying to find like a good pitch if your PI maybe isn't being super, super supportive of you.
Yeah.
So sorry, we're getting a couple of questions coming into the chat. So let's talk a little bit about, before I move on to some of those, what is one thing outside of the lab that you've done that you're most proud of?
So, one of the things that I've done is I became part of this gender equity task force at UCSF. And what was really interesting is this just came out of, again, I went to an event. It was back in 2018 when the National Academy of Sciences came out with a report about sexual harassment of women in STEM. And the people who wrote that report came to UCSF and gave a talk to sort of distill the information in this, 100-page report. And after the following day, there was a student and postdoc breakfast where we could come together and talk about the information that we learned. And from that, a group of us came together and decided to form this gender equity task force and basically use the National Academy of Sciences report and doing our own research at UCSF and try to find ways to improve gender equity on campus at UCSF. And so yeah, that has been really amazing. We gathered a bunch of research and gave a town hall for the entire UCSF community about what we had found and what we thought would be good things for UCSF to try to implement. And yeah, continuing to work with that group has been really great and has helped me get involved with other things around campus as well.
It's really awesome, and what like a great use of your extracurricular time of imparting change in science communication and equity and inclusion in the sciences. I that's awesome. I love hearing when people are passionate about that kind of stuff and do that kind of work.
Yeah.
So I'll go to some of the questions now that have been sent in from some of our members around the world. So one question that we've gotten is what are some good hobbies to have when you have roommates? Do you think that you should try to keep hobbies out of the house? Do you think maybe you should include them in the hobbies? How do you balance that when you have roommates?
Well, when I've had roommates, I found that baking as a hobby was always appreciated because there was always delicious things to eat in the house. So if you like baking, that may be a good one. I don't know. I've never had roommates that were bothered by the hobbies that I did. And mostly my hobbies are sort of like craft related or baking related. And so, yeah, with crafts, I just have like a craft box that I can take out when I need to and then put away when I'm done. So I would say, yeah, like do hobbies in the house. And honestly, doing hobbies with people is even, at least for me, more enjoyable. For example, I'm part of a book club, and I can't tell you how, like, not only does it get me to read more, because sometimes I'm just like, oh, my brain is fried, but oh, I have to read the book for book club. Okay. And then being able to discuss it with a group of people that I really have, come to really love and make friendships with, like, yeah, it's great. I highly recommend doing hobbies with people.
That's awesome. Is your book club in person or is it virtual? Just out of curiosity.
It started in person, then went virtual, but we're hoping to go in person again in a park.
Oh, that's so lovely. I love that. Yeah,
Yeah.
I'm part of the Life's Library book club, which is hosted by like the Green Brothers. And theirs is on Discord, and I love having that kind of community to talk about books too. I can totally relate to that. Yeah, so it sounds like your advice with hobbies is like either look for something that like works with your roommates or like just be a respectful house guest in general, like you would without a hobby, everyone has their thing. So what impact does starting a PhD have on your spare time compared to your previous job as a research tech?
I mean, definitely being in a PhD has made me have less free time. I think, like, honestly, the biggest transition, the hardest transition was just, with experiments, you can guesstimate how long they might take, but then something always goes wrong. So I think the hardest thing for me was having a clear cutoff point at the end of the day. I think that's the hardest thing. So, friends saying, oh, do you want to go to an exercise class at 6? It's like, well, I don't know. Like, my experiment should be done by then, but I'm not sure. So I think that was the hardest thing, just not really necessarily knowing when my day would end, which I think goes back to a point we were talking about previously of having breaks in the middle of the day and doing things in the middle of the day. So if I had an incubation period, for instance, okay, I'm gonna, instead of checking my email or writing, I'll take that 1 hour incubation and go try to do something else.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. I think that's a really good way because, like, sometimes when you take that like break, like that waiting period to go do something else related to your research, like you can almost get like too mentally exhausted. I don't know if you feel that
Totally.
way.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But like using that time to like go do something else, like just even walking to go get a coffee,
Totally.
just
Yes.
revives you a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, yeah. So, I started to have to think about, okay, instead of planning things always at the end of my days, I mean, normally it'd be like, okay, I work 9 to 5 and then I can do whatever I want after that. Yeah, it definitely became more about, okay, I have flexibility and I need to try to fill my day in different in a different way.
Yeah, I totally feel that. So, that kind of leads nicely into this next question. You're writing your dissertation. How have hobbies been beneficial during this time? Especially, writing isn't necessarily one of those things where you're going to have an hour-long incubation period. How do you fit hobbies into that writing period?
Oh yes, it's been so important. I would be going just my brain would be buzzing if I wasn't, and not in a good way, if I didn't do hobbies. So with the writing, I really try to not sit at my computer for like extended periods of time. I'll like work at, I'll do 2 hours of writing and then I'll take a break and do something else and step away fully from my computer. And yeah, like again, my book club has been super helpful during this time, not only because I'm reading fiction and so I can, use a different part of my brain, but also just like talking with people not about science when, my nose is so into the science right now. So yeah, I mean, it's just been, and then watercolor has also been really great because I find it kind of uses a different part of my brain. And so I don't know, I just like there's a creativity and a freedom to it that really I don't feel like exists in science in some ways, at least not in the writing part of science. And so yeah, just being able to like stretch my creative brain, I find has been helpful and just helping me focus and do to the writing.
Yeah, I like that. The importance of making sure that, if there's not that break built in, making sure that you're still doing that so you can, again, use your brain in different ways. So, what advice would you give to somebody starting their PhD now about getting involved, hobbies, work-life balance?
I would say that it's important to get involved. And I think a lot of people in their first year are nervous about getting involved in things because they're like, oh, I'm here to focus on the lab work. But I think that, if you're just involved in one thing, like for my first year, one of the things that I knew that I wanted to be involved in was this science education partnership at UCSF where scientists go into elementary school classrooms and teach science lessons. And
That's
like,
so cool.
it's so fun. Oh my gosh, it's so fun. And I was like, I don't, you know, whatever happens, I want to do this. And again, it wasn't really that much time. It was like, there, you know, there are four lessons I had to teach. I planned those lessons with a partner, and that took some time as well. But again, it didn't take that much time, but the payoff was so great. Like, it was super fun for me. You know, I got to talk about science in a different way, which I always find helps me to understand the complexities of science better. So yeah, my advice would be just find one thing to start off with and get involved with that. So you have, you know, one thing that you can turn to when, you know, graduate school ultimately gets you down. I'm sorry to say, but graduate school will ultimately get you down at some point.
Yeah, unfortunately, it's a bit of a reality of life in general. But yeah, definitely. And that kind of goes back to our, you know, making sure that you have something non-lab, non-research to look forward to, and like not having all of your emotional or mental eggs in one basket, as it were.
Absolutely.
So somebody wrote in asking, do you feel guilty at all for the times when you're doing hobbies or, you know, outreach, instead of using that time to work on your research or your writing?
No, not at all. And I understand why people might feel that way, but I learned the hard way that I have to have those breaks and I have to have those other things or I'll just burn out. And then, you know, the research that I'm doing in lab is going to suffer from it. So better to have some hobbies and take 1 hour away from my research and sort of free my mind versus, you know, just, you know, putting my nose to the grindstone and just keep going, going, going. I burnt out. I've experienced burnout multiple times when I've sort of let my hobbies slide. And so I would say, don't feel guilty. Think about your hobbies. You are doing something for your mental health. You're doing something for yourself. It's self-care. And 1 hour, 2 hours taken away from your research is not going to change the game.
Yeah. They followed up with making sure, like, how do you make sure that you are doing the right duration? And it sounds like you're saying, like, you know, if you can do 1 hour to 2 hours, you know, a day, that's not gonna like affect the amount that you get done for your science in that day.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, if you're using the entire day to work on a hobby, you know, maybe you need to look at that. But yeah, I think finding balance is important. So somebody wants to know, how can you tell us more about this different science communication that you're doing, and how do you enjoy that?
Yeah, so let's see. I've been part of several science communication related hobbies, I guess. So one of them, I was the science education partnership that I mentioned before, where I went in to teach kids science lessons, and that was so fun. Like, one of the lessons that we taught was about bacteria and how bacteria are everywhere. And so we had the kids, you know, swab their classroom, and then we brought in agar plates for them to wipe the swabs on. And then, you know, the next time we came in for a lesson, we brought their plates back and showed them all the disgusting bacteria all over their plates, or not disgusting, you know. So yeah, so that just like seeing kids get excited about science is just one of the most fun things in the world. So that's really enjoyable. I've also done science writing for the student newspaper at UCSF, which is really great. That's involved generally going to different science talks and then trying to distill that information in a way that, you know, everyone on campus can kind of latch on to. And that's, again, I think that's sort of stretching a different part of the brain, which I really like. And then I'm trying to think of what else. I've also been pen pals with elementary school students and written about science in pen pal format, which is, again, super fun, writing letters with kids about science. Yeah, I think those are the main things I'm involved with.
That's so cool. Oh, I love the idea of a science pen pal. Oh, that's so
Yeah.
sweet.
It's
How
the
precious.
letters to a pre-scientist program is,
Oh.
yeah, it's really fun. It's
Oh,
really
that's
fun.
so precious. Oh my gosh, I might have to look into that. So what we've talked about how like you like to be in a book club, you like to bake, you like to do watercolor. Which of those like I guess non-sciencey hobbies have you done most recently?
I'm actually in the midst of baking something right now. So
What are
very
you
recent.
making?
So I am making these chocolate stout cupcakes with
Ooh.
a Bailey's Irish Cream frosting and a whiskey chocolate ganache.
Oh my gosh, and you're sending one to me, right?
I would love to.
Oh my gosh, I need one like immediately. That sounds so amazing.
Yeah, I make them every year for my partner's birthday.
Oh, that's so sweet. Oh my gosh, I love it. I might at least need that recipe because I don't think that
Sure.
the cupcake would travel very well from San
Yeah.
Francisco to Indiana, but that sounds delicious. Oh my gosh. Well, while I was asking that question, another question came in. Do you consider SciComm a hobby, or as an increasingly necessary extracurricular, academic task for you to get more visibility?
I mean, I do science communication because I enjoy it. I also do believe that it's super important. I want to share science with everyone. And I especially when I hear so many people be like, "Oh, you're a scientist, that's so hard. I could never be that." And I'm like, "No, you can. Just like be curious, and I think you're a scientist. If you're curious, you ask a question and you want to learn more." And so, being able to show people that, science isn't necessarily as hard as academia tries to make it out to be. Like, it's not all, weed out classes and scary exams and things like that. So yeah, I think I just really enjoy communicating science, and then I enjoy, having other people realize, like, "Oh, now I understand something about science that I didn't before." That's like such a joy, like talking to my mom about it or talking to my partner who's not in, a scientific field, and getting them to understand a concept that I'm working on is like so exciting and important. I think, science is for everyone, and it should be available for everyone.
That's so lovely. So it really is like an enjoyable thing for you. Like yes, like it's kind of like a necessary academic thing that we do nowadays, but it's also just fun to be able to communicate with people about the cool stuff that scientists do.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's fabulous. Well, before we finish up, is there anything else that you'd like to mention or talk about today, or like more cupcakes that you want to like send to me?
I don't think there's anything else I have to add. Again, I guess I just want to reiterate the importance of not just focusing fully on your PhD and really having something else to do that you enjoy, even if it's a small thing. And it may take you some time to find what that is. Quickly, I'll say, it took me a while to get to watercolor. Before that, I was doing knitting and sewing, and I enjoyed doing those things, but then I realized that there was a precision and a protocol that went into them that was too similar to what I was doing in lab. And so watercolor again was just like, I can do whatever I want. I can use whatever tools I want. It just, there was a freedom to that that really helped me rest up better than doing these other more precise hobbies. So yeah, it might take some time, but stick with it.
I love it. Yeah. And if you're out there and you decide that your hobby is baking and you are in the Indiana area and want to supply me with cupcakes, I am here to be your taste tester and help you deplete your supplies so that you have a chance to bake again. All right. Well, thank you so much, Ariane. This has been awesome. I have loved talking with you, and I'm sure that all of our members have enjoyed listening to you and answering their questions. This has been Grad Chat by PhD Balance. We go live Saturdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific, and episodes are posted on our podcast hosted by Anchor.fm and available on all major streaming platforms each Tuesday.